On today's episode of the Jewish Life Podcast, we go back. We go way back, actually. You know, with all this Corona stuff, I've been thinking a lot about summer camps. You know, a lot of these camps have been shutting down or being shut down by the government. And it makes me think of the best camp experience of my life. Teed Up Golf Camp. So when I used to tell people that I went to golf camp when I was a kid, I went for 5 years. And they ran it for, I think, 7 years. I was there for 5 of the years. People would say, are you a nerd? Are you a loser? You play golf? That's a grandpa sport. And that's what I thought until I started playing golf, and I really enjoyed it. But that's not even the point. The camp wasn't about golf at all. It was actually just awesome. The counselors were great, and that's who I'm interviewing today, the two counselors and founders of the camp. And the camp had this perfect, you know, dynamic of funny, competitive. There was prizes if you won that game, the day of golf. And I have no regrets other than that I would have went more. I wish I went the full 7 years because it was the best camp experience ever. It was very cheap, very affordable. It was a day camp, so I wasn't going away. I wasn't missing home. And I just am really happy that it happened. And my advice to anyone, you know, wanting to make a camp, because I mentioned in the interview, me and my friend Dove Bear, we used to try to, I don't know why I said that weird. Me and Dove Bear, my friend, we tried to make a camp one time, and it didn't work out because we didn't have insurance. So these guys, they pulled it off for 7 years. It was awesome. So anyone out there, you know, trying to make a backyard camp, because first of all, backyard camps are very easy compared to a regular massive camp. They're fun, they're affordable, easy to get done in a sense. Obviously, there's parts of it that are difficult, but it's pretty easy, and you can make some real money. So anyone that's out there that is looking for an idea, you need a niche, right? You can't just have our problem with my camp we tried making. It was too basic. It was camp tower sports. Learn tower, play basketball. You need to have a more of a niche, because why would anyone go to that camp if they can go to a way better camp? And usually in the Jewish world, a lot of the younger kids go to backyard camps run by girls. It's a very girl thing. They run backyard camps. My sister used to do it. And that's the thing, but out there you need to find a niche. So if anyone's looking for an idea, I'll give you an idea right now, and it's a really, really good idea. This is a huge niche. It's very expensive, but I think you can get a lot of in-town and wealthy Jews to send their kids, you know, off to this camp. It would be a traveling camp that goes on cruises. Like, during the summer, there are cruises to Alaska that are like 14-day cruises. You do a 14-day cruise where there's already stuff to do on the cruise, and you have these two counselors or three counselors that are fun guys, cool guys, the kids like. They, you know, make activities, plan the entire thing out. There's obviously this cruise would stop. So this is an idea. I don't have a name for it yet at all, but if anyone's looking for any idea to make a quote unquote backyard camp, because this one's a little harder to do, it's a legit camp, I would say do the cruise camp. Sounds really cool. Anyways, I don't want to hold you guys, you know, back from hearing this interview. It was so good. So without further ado, let's get to the interview. All right. Today we are joined with the founders and head counselors of the famous, notorious Teed Up Golf Camp in Silver Spring, Maryland. Avi Moses and Ellie Teichman, welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
Go for it, Ellie. Thanks for having us.
No problem. It's my pleasure. I mean, this has been a long time coming. A lot of people have been asking about this. I'm not going to lie.
We've actually been hearing through the grapevines that a lot of people have been asking about it. So I'm honestly a little bit surprised that it took this long to interview us. But
you guys are busy people. You guys are busy people. It's hard to, like, you know.
Busy people, but we care. You have a strong fan base.
For sure. Okay, let's jump in right into it. What'd you say, Ellie?
I think we're your first double interview. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah, it is. I'm very nervous that it's not going to work, but it, you know.
This is, you with know, the right, with the right. With the right Kavana, we can have a proper threesome.
For sure. So basically, there's two options right now, and you guys could decide which one you want to do. I have serious questions that are more interesting to me about, like, the, you know, like the how you guys started the camp and stuff like that. Or I have funny questions that the alumni asked. You have some alumni, Mayor Sandberg. A lot of people got in and asked us some questions. They want to know the truth about some of the things that happened in golf camp.
You had to take a step back. You got to introduce what the camp, like, most of your listeners are going to have no idea what Teed Up Golf Camp is.
You're getting ahead of yourself. Before the interview, when I post the podcast, I do a clip after I film the interview. I talk about what the interview is going to be. But yeah. You obviously don't listen to my podcast. All right, fine. Which one do you guys want to do?
I think you should do a mix of both.
All right, fine. Let's do that. Fine. Okay. So first question's obvious. I want to know whose idea was it.
Wait one second. Are we switching off between Ellie and I? How's this work?
So for the end of it, we're going to switch off. I'm going to switch off back and forth. But right now, whoever has the better answer, basically, will give the better answer. Like, okay. Whose idea was it, and how did you market this kind of golf camp to this out-of-town, you know, Jewish community? Whose idea was it? I want to know, because you guys were 16 when you started, right? 17?
I don't even know the answer to that question, Ellie. Was there like one of us that had the idea? I don't even know.
We were sitting in the library at Southeast in between Mincha Maariv on one long Shabbos, and we're like, hey, what are we doing this summer? We're like, oh, we should do a golf camp. We're going to play golf every day anyway. So why not make money off of it or get paid to do it?
And you were how old? 16, 17? Because you had licenses, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we must have been 16. And I think Avi, I might have still been 15. I'm trying to remember.
I think the first year we did the camp, I was the only driver. Yeah. Ellie had his permit, and I drove the good old Mazda MPV. We were limited to 5 campers because Ellie and I took the front 2 seats. And yeah. We had five seats in the back. I'm not going to tell you that we didn't have 6 campers at certain times, but for you know, sure. double buckling back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. I missed double buckling. That's a good thing. I missed that. I haven't double buckled since I was a kid. It's a chill.
Exactly. Go for it.
I was going to ask. So how did you market it? Like, so when you got the idea that you wanted to make a golf camp because you guys were into golf and you were like, let's just play for free. Basically, what was your goal to how to market this thing? Because golf, I'm not going to lie, it's getting kind of popular in the younger kids. A lot of people nowadays are playing golf like kids because it's very fratty. But I never even dreamed I'd ever play golf in my life growing up. How did you get the 4 or the 5 kids in the beginning to even, like, did you go to their parents? Did you, like, I just don't know how it happened.
Two words, Microsoft Publisher and FedEx Kinko's. We made a brochure. we were trying to recruit 5 kids in the small community of White Oak. It's not that hard to con people into coming to your golf camp, especially considering the alternative options of Camp Mayan and Camp Gunizzi.
Yeah.
So I think Ellie was probably the main, I think Ellie was like the key brain behind our little brochure that we created, but it was literally.
You sent it or you went to people's houses. How'd you do it? You just sent it to the listserv? Like, what did you do with the brochure? You put it in the Southeast, or what did you do?
Yeah, we did. We hung it on the bulletin board, I know, and I think we did a blast on the listserv.
Wow, but shout out to the first people that joined the camp, because it started a great camp, like 6 years or 5 years running. It was amazing. It's honestly the best camp I've ever been to, probably.
Do you remember who the first person was to join? Because I remember when they actually approached us.
Was it Mayor Sandberg?
Yeah, his parents came to us like, I think in Shul, like one Shabbos afternoon also, and or after davening or something, they're like, are you guys the ones doing the camp? I think they had just moved that year. I'm like, there's no way.
That's so old. Wow.
They're going to send. Yeah. I'm like, there's no way these people are going to send. So I was like, just giving them like, yeah, whatever. Well, maybe we'll do it. And then they like, before we know it, they signed up mayor and we're like, okay, I guess now we're stuck into doing this.
It's funny because I was going to say that I actually tried making a camp with one of my friends and it did not go well. So I want to know how you guys did it, because we had a camp called Camp Torah Sports that we put on the listserv. We were going to learn in the morning, play basketball. And we had people literally emailing me. I was like 16 and we had no idea. So Rabbi Merkin from the yeshiva pulled us into the lunchroom and he sat us down. He goes, okay, so I hear you're using, because on our flyer, we said we're going to play at the yeshiva hoops. And he said, oh, I hear you're doing your camp at our school. Do you have insurance? And I said, what do you mean? And he was like, oh, no, you can't do it anymore. So I want to know, did you guys have insurance? How legit was the first year?
The first 5 years, we never had insurance.
Really?
Didn't your brother drafted us a waiver, you know, signing everything over?
Exactly. Was that my brother? Yeah, my attorney, partner, corporate lawyer brother helped us draft up a
Rabbi Moses?
No, different one. Brother in California.
I didn't even know. Wow.
That was like the only thing that was involved in signing up for Teed Up Golf Camp was sending us your $200 deposit and signing our 7 different waivers that in theory covered us from insurance losses. But thank God, other than a couple of quick swerves on the road on the way back from 7-Eleven, nearly crossing over the barrier, I don't think we ever had any actual injuries other than.
For sure. I don't remember anything. I was going to ask that. I don't remember anything.
I hit Mayor Sandberg with a golf ball.
Yeah, I got hit. I got hit. Avi Pines hit me. Like, people got hit. I remember Danny Dasher got hit by Eliezer Sheamus by like an inch away. Just like the ball right to his ankle. Like, it was math on it. I was going to ask this. Avi said he didn't want to say this, but are we going to talk financials or no? You guys don't want to talk financials.
We can do it.
You can do it? Okay, so right now.
I'll let Ellie answer.
Okay, so right now I'm going to start reading some of the questions I got from the alumni. And the one of them is just how much money did you make off it? Because you told us when we were in camp, you seemed pretty honest. Like, yeah, it wasn't about the money. It was to play golf for free. So I want to know, did it start as that? And as the camps got on, you realized it was popular and you could kind of get more money out of it?
Yeah.
Ellie, go for it.
I think that – I don't remember exact numbers, but I think each year we increased. And it wasn't anything like outlandish.
For sure. It also got better, the camp. Like you put more work. There was like Color War and there was like the scavenger hunt at the mall, which got shut down. There was things that were going on other than golf.
The first year, I mean, we were still pretty young. Also, we probably – even with playing, after all was said and done, we probably made a few hundred bucks each, if not a little more. And then towards the end, you know, we started our tradition of going away to Poconos to play golf after camp. So after that trip came out of the camp budget, I think we walked away, I don't know, a couple thousand maybe each, something like that.
That's pretty, but it was a lot of work. That's the thing. I'm very into the free market. So I think that you provided a service that people obviously wanted. And you weren't charging every parent that sent their kids to golf camp, at least that I knew of, was very excited because it was basically a day camp. It wasn't sleepaway, and it was relatively cheap compared to other camps. And it was the kids loved it.
We really did not make that much money. The only reason why we made anything at all, and like truthfully, we really did the camp because we wanted to just play golf for free and then go afterwards and play golf for a week, Ellie and I in the Poconos. But the only reason why we made money is because of East Potomac Golf Club in Washington.
It's like $4 for like a kid, right?
Yeah.
It was $2.50 a kid to play at the Red Course.
They were probably so mad. They probably didn't realize that. You know what I'm saying? Like they didn't realize that you'd have a camp coming through.
If we were paying more than $2.50, we probably would not have made any money at all.
Didn't you guys tell us not to say that we're a camp? Is that a thing? Do I remember that right? Was it like, because I feel like East Potomac would have realized there was a camp coming.
I think Avi called them before, one of the years. Yeah, and he said, hey, this is a story. We're going to come every day. And I think they even gave us like a small discount. Like they didn't charge us, like the counselors maybe, or they gave us the junior rate or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a question for my brother, and it's a pretty funny question. There's probably a simple answer to it. Most of the years, we would get put into learning with Ellie, right? So later in the years, the better learners would go with Avi in the base medrash. We would stay in the library with the Tootsie Rolls. It was good times. But my brother wants to know where Avi went, because sometimes he would put us all with Ellie, and he would go places, and it seemed like he was doing something for the camp. But what could you possibly have been doing for like an hour and a half for the camp every morning?
I think I would prepare. I don't even know what I did.
I think you just chilled. I think
Ellie was definitely the learning Rebbe. I definitely did not chill. I definitely like did something for the camp, but Ellie was definitely like the learning Rebbe towards that.
No, you got together like the snacks and water, I think.
Oh, true. Exactly. Okay, that makes sense. Exactly. I knew there'd be like a simple answer because Biyamin thought it was some conspiracy, but we're actually going to get to a conspiracy right now.
Let's hear it.
Simi's hole in one. There's a lot of people, you'd be surprised, that think it didn't happen. And Simi's very vehement about it, but I think personally, like I think it happened, but if I'm like playing to the conspiracy idea, I think he was young and Avi just wanted to spook everyone or make everyone think it's crazy. So he basically conditioned Simi to think he got a hole in one. Like he reacted really cool and really funny. That's what some people are saying. I don't know. Listen, what's the answer to that, Avi? You can come clean right now. No one's going to judge you.
Simi actually got a hole in one. No question about it.
And it was a real reaction. Whole
17 at Gun Ghetto.
Yeah.
Gun Ghetto. An elevated tee. At 80 yards, which really comes out to like a 50-yard hole. And Simi actually got a hole in one, actually.
Do you remember who was in the group? It was Simi, you, and then I don't remember. I think I was with Ellie. I know that. Because we heard him on the course, and Ellie said he's probably lying. That's where the conspiracy started. Everyone that heard you yell was like, oh, Avi's just being Avi. He's just being crazy.
It was Simi, myself. It was D-Bag. D-Bag was in our group.
Yeah.
And I think Yehuda Rudak.
By the way, we're going to get to a really funny thing at the end. We're going to do a segment of golf camp trivia for you guys. We'll switch off, see who's the better golf camp counselor, who knows more of the golf camp history. We'll get to that soon. But basically, I want to know now.
Wait, one second. We can't walk out of that question. There's 2 points I need to make.
Okay,
first
fine.
Thing is that I could buy into the conspiracy theory because I remember my group. We were probably a hole or two behind.
I remember, yeah.
Right, and we heard the screaming, and like it's pretty wooded over there, so there's a lot of echoing. So I'm like, you know, there's something happened. Like somebody got a hole in one or like something crazy happened. And like, if you're buying into the conspiracy, it's like, oh, how come like my first reaction was hole in one? So that's number one. And number two, if you're going to talk about hole in ones in teed up golf camp, you're going to have to mention mine also, which is a pretty crazy thing.
Which one was yours? When did you have one?
At East Potomac. The white course. Yeah. And we were playing. Yeah. We were playing like a captain's choice or whatever. And I hit and it was like a 190 yard
par three. It was like hole five or six over there. And, you know, old five iron with a little draw in it, and it went in. It was like, it was such a long hole that we weren't sure if it went in.
That sounds very familiar. Like the stories, it sounds very familiar.
Yeah. 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 That was, the fact that we had two hole in ones in 5 years is just, it's crazy. At our level.
For sure. For sure. For sure. There's a lot of plays. Like there's a lot of crazy. I think Binyamin was probably the best. I was going to ask who you think the best player was in the camp. And it's pretty obvious it was Binyamin, maybe Avram at times, but.
No, I think it was Binyamin by far. Binyamin,
for sure. Yeah.
There was times where he was like competing, but actually, like it was unfair to, you know, I felt really annoyed about it because he was my brother. Really, so you never put him with me.
No, he was very good, but Rafi Singer was underrated.
Really?
He had a smoking swing. Shout out to the Singer boys. Donnie and Aaron are both in our White Oak chat for those of you listening that are in the Oak chat. And your brother Rafi, he had a smoking swing.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was annoyed because you never put me with Binyamin, I guess, because we're brothers. And it always was because he always won the Slurpee, and you always put Jacob Black with Binyamin for some reason. And he used to rub it in my face, and I didn't like it at all.
The real question is, who had the worst attitude out of all of our campers? If that's not on your list, we can answer that right now.
Yeah, so I was going to ask who the angry, because I wanted to know which one of you guys, because I've seen Ellie throw clubs before. I've seen him get angry. I never really saw Avi get angry at golf, but I think Ellie's been a little more competitive when it came to the golf thing. Avi was there, like he was having a great time, and like I think it never got to his head. I saw Ellie throw a club one time in the water, I think. He'd like fish it out. Do you remember that, Ellie?
Very possible. Yeah. I don't remember that, but I can't deny that because I probably haven't.
So I want to know what you guys think, who the angriest player was, or like grumpiest. Because I know that like at times you could say Judak, at times Mayer, at times me. I was very I got tilted very easily in golf camp.
Broke like two clubs in one round.
But that was that. In my defense, I was really angry, but I swung my club in my bag, and the clubs were, I guess, such child clubs. They just snapped inside the bag. I didn't ever think that would ever happen. Like I was surprised.
The way I describe you, Yehuda, is a little angry midget. You were like the shortest person in the camp
at a time, yeah,
and the worst. So you would swing.
I came in third in the tournament, by the way, just so you know. Okay, I'm not the worst.
Sure. But inevitably you would get very angry if you did not have a good shot, which was not surprising to anyone else but you.
Well, yeah, because kids are bad.
And then you would just slam your clubs against anything you could find within 5 foot distance.
Why are you roasting me right now? You're roasting me on my own podcast. I invited you on my podcast. I'm getting roasted. Okay, fine. Let's play some golf camp trivia because I think it's gonna be really funny. And I'm not gonna lie, like I'm definitely hyped about this. Okay. I'm gonna switch off. Who wants to go first? Like I want to go back and forth, and let's see who's the better counselor. Who wants to go first?
What's the question?
You'll see.
I'll take it.
Ellie, right, fine. Ellie, go first.
Fine. Okay, yeah. This one I think. Okay, what were the lyrics to the song "Hey, My Name Is Mayer"?
And I'm a real player.
No. Avi, do you know it?
Hey, my name is Mayer. Yeah. Nothing is ever fair.
Darn,
no matter how hard you try, you're never satisfied.
Yeah, that's what it was. That was, yeah, so fun. I thought Avi would get that because he did write it, and he used to say it a lot.
Yeah, that's out of my wheelhouse. I think you'll have to have him on your next track.
Yeah, for sure. Avi, who jumped in the pool with an iPod in their pocket?
Ooh, that was Yehuda Rudak.
No. Ellie, do you want to steal it?
Darn, I don't even know. Was that Yosef Cohen?
No. It was Jacob Black. It was his new iPod Touch.
Yosef Cohen. That was a good call. He was, by the way, one of the first five.
Yeah, he was. I saw
that. Yeah, the first year.
Okay, so it's 1-0 obvious still.
Yeah, so Jacob, but the story is Jacob Black, he got a new iPod. He was bragging about it, and he used to put it in his back pocket, and I guess he came in his bathing suit because he was like coming to swimming, and he was bragging about it, and he got so excited he jumped into the pool and he started crying, and everyone was like, "What happened?" And he came out and his iPod broke. It was pretty funny.
That's why we call him the black one.
All right, fine. Okay, this one's for Ellie, but actually this is unfair because it was in Avi's car. But let's see if Ellie can still know it. What album that was in Avi's car did he play a lot? It was a non-Jewish album. What album was very, very often played on driving?
I have no idea. I would just guess Green Day.
That's a good guess because Avi did like Green Day. But do you remember what it was, Avi?
I have no clue.
It was the what Beatles. Was it? It was the Beatles' one album.
Oh, really?
Okay. Do you remember that? Do you remember that, the red one with the yellow?
I don't, but I trust you.
All right, fine. Okay. So I had a nickname in camp. It wasn't like a big nickname, but there was a reason for the nickname. I used to play this iPod game a lot, and Danny Dasher gave me a nickname. Do you remember what the nickname was? Do you remember what the game was and the nickname?
Is this any of us? Because the only name I remember for you was Juicing.
Okay, so,
the game I used to play a lot was Doodle Jump. Can you guess what the nickname was?
Doodle Jump?
Doodle Dump. That's what it was. Okay. That's what Dan used to call it.
I would say Juicing counts as a win. I think I'm up 2-0.
Yeah, I hear that. This one's a cool. So basically, Avi won the questions, but this is a funny thing. I'm going to go through. I have a list of all the campers I remember going to golf camp. And you guys are going to switch off, and you cannot repeat the same camper. Let's see if you really remember, you know, who went to your camp. So Avi, you start off and then switch off back and forth. If you repeat the same one, you lose.
Okay. Yosef Kahn.
Okay.
Mayor Sandberg.
All right.
Simi Rachelman.
Yehuda Edelstein.
Yehuda Rudak.
Benjamin Edelstein.
D-Bag Slater.
Rocky Singer.
Wow, you guys are missing a lot of big ones.
You know, we had a Bergman one summer.
Okay, I'll give you that one. W. Bergman.
Danny right. Dasher.
Good call.
Ooh. Oh, who else do we have?
You're missing some like people.
You Yehuda Kellerman. We had one summer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good call. I have one that I've been saving, but I might be out of this one. This is good. Arye Broth is my he's my wild card.
Oh.
Oh yeah, that was a good call.
Yeah.
Okay, Avram Mann.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for people to say that. There's only one left on my list that you guys haven't said yet. But there's other people that I'm now remembering.
I think I don't know. Yeah, you got Bergman. I don't know. I think I'm out here.
Okay, there's two on my list that you guys didn't get. Adam Lombardo.
No, that's a classic.
Yeah, and Avi Pines. I even said it before that he hit me in the leg.
No, that's also a classic.
Yeah.
Those are...
No, Adam Lombardo actually came to our camp probably like 4 out of 5 summers. He was like one of the solids.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was surprised. But I think I was going to ask you to talk about the Kent Mill stigma. Do you think there was Kent Mill kids that, like Kent Mill parents that ever emailed you that wanted and you were like, it's not worth it because picking them up or dropping them off?
Absolutely. 1,000%. The best part about our camp is we had one major constriction. We had two vans. We had a Ellie Teichman caravan, and we had an Avi Moses Mazda MPV.
But you used to have a wild card because like Shlomo Rosen had a car. He used to drive. He drove like four people because there was times where there's like 14 kids in the camp. I think that was the max or something because there's two full cars of you
do
guys.
Do we have three kids, Ellie? We have three cars.
Yeah.
That's why we hired out Shlomo Rosen and then Eliezer Sheamus 1 year or 2 years maybe.
I don't think we ever contemplated going to Camp Mill because we always were able to fill up the camp, which is White Oakers. Like, what's the point?
Right. No, we did. We had Camp Mill kids that came, right?
Brock
came
to White Oak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Avi, we have one more question for Avi right now because Ellie's going to get this too easily, so I'm going to give it to Avi. Who is the camp's favorite sports announcer or sportscaster on the radio?
The Chicago Cubs guy?
No. You're thinking of like announcers for an actual game. There was a sports radio guy, like let's say Mike and Mike. I don't know what that name is. Radio host that Ellie used to listen to a lot, and he used to like mimic the voice, and had an interesting name.
I have no idea.
Ellie, do you remember who it was?
That would be one Thom Lavero, Thom Lavero.
Yeah. I always thought you were making the problem with you guys. There was like a funny thing when we were in camp. It was a big enough age gap where you guys were adults in our eyes, but you guys were still like kids. So I couldn't tell as a kid if you were ever being serious or not. So I always thought his name was Thom Lavero and Ellie was just being like annoying and saying Thom Lavero. I never got that. It was like all these things, like all these, like, I don't know. It was just very funny to hear you guys like as like adults. We were all like the stuff you guys did was pretty, to us, it seemed really legit. Like the color breakout when you like came up dressed in like tell the story, Abby. It's a good story.
I don't remember the exact story. We took you guys to Rock Creek Park where
Ellie pretended that he locked his keys in the car and he sold it really well. It's like he deserved an Oscar. Everyone thought it. Everyone was so annoyed because you've done it before.
I did it previously that summer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do? We dressed up and just like jumped out of the woods.
No, so this is, you don't remember, Avi, you don't remember. I'll tell you the story. Ellie basically took, we all like, because what happened was we used to go to like Rock Creek Park to eat lunch sometimes. We went there and all the kids were there. We went back, everyone in Ellie's car was going to go back to the car. And Ellie was like, oh shoot, I forgot my keys. And it was like, he sold it. We were all annoyed because we might not be able to play golf. Avi was like, I'm going to run back, get a spare key and come back. So Avi goes alone. And Ellie just sits us all down. We're just talking. We're schmoozing, talking sports, whatever. And Avi, you must have went to like a 7-Eleven and changed into like, it looked like a doctor's gown with like a wig on. And you came running out of the woods, like howling of laughter or some weird thing. You like grabbed one of the kids. And it was insane. I thought I was going to get killed.
I was wearing a trench coat. I vividly remember wearing a trench coat.
That's what it was, yeah.
Kids at home, don't listen to you, to Edelstein. Stay away from men in trench coats running out of Rock Creek Park.
Unless you're in golf camp, then it's probably a prank.
Wait, can we take a step back, Yuta?
Sure.
Can we talk about the top businesses that have ever been founded out of White Oak and kind of figure out where we stack up? Golf camp.
I think you have the most, like the biggest legacy. Like, I don't know if you'd ever, cause like, obviously you guys weren't rolling in dough, but it's a legacy in the sense that I'll tell my kids about golf camp for sure. And they'll be like, you went to golf camp, that's so lame. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. We played for a Slurpee and it was the most intense and the most intense thing in the world. Like literally I would like cry. I was a sore loser anyway as a kid, but I would cry if I didn't get that Slurpee. That Slurpee went the world. And for some reason, I didn't ask my parents for money. They would have given me like a dollar. It's pretty crazy that I feel like no one there would, when you brought us to 7-Eleven, nobody bought stuff. It was either you got one or you didn't get anything. Like
it's no, Jacob Black, the black one, always had money to buy like 17 snacks.
Yeah, by the way, that joke sounds racist, but to explain it, Jacob had a shirt that like a baseball shirt, like from these like old like baseball leagues, and it had his name, Jacob Black on the back, and the number was one. So his nickname was Black One, but it sounds like he's racist.
Well, also his last name is Black, so yeah.
Yeah,
he's the Black One. He was literally the Black One in the camp.
Ellie, do you remember when you saw the guy wearing my brother's baseball shirt?
Yes, that was pretty insane.
Where was it?
I was driving to College Park one day to go to class from Kent Mill, and I see this guy walking down the road. I'm like, is this guy wearing a Ben Torre baseball shirt? Lo and behold, he turns at the crosswalk and it says Edelstein 10 or whatever. I was like, I was blown away.
Yeah, I must have been at a yard sale. Like, he must have sold at a yard sale.
Yeah, or from like a thrift store or something.
Yeah. I was going to ask, so this is the last question of people wanted. This is a personal question. I want to know this. Were there any complaints about us? Like, obviously, like, did Woodmont ever talk to you guys? Because, I mean, we were pretty well-behaved kids. Nothing like troublemaking, but we're kids. And there was like 12 of us at sometimes. Did you ever get complaints from East Potomac or Gunpowder? Or like when it happened with Woodmont, I'm wondering, cause like we are such little pishers and like we are like going to this nice country club. I wondered if you've got a call and you never told us, cause there's no point of telling a bunch of kids that messed up that you've lost your chance of going somewhere or like you lost us a deal or you lost whatever. You're saying, was there any complaints that you guys received that were like very bad?
We definitely got complaints from like the driving range a couple times.
Yeah, that was the only one.
Actually got banned for that, right?
Yeah, and only, I don't think we were able to go back. I got like a sick deal there. They give us like, I think we had, Ellie and I had like driving range discounts at Olney for like 5 years after camp ended. But they got pissed at us a bunch of times because you guys were just like,
coming off the ground. The
opposite direction. Yeah, you guys would like,
it was also,
the
they played off real grass, right? Like
you guys would.
There. No, I'm saying like, there's like a putting green that's pretty nice and we had like chipping competitions on them and like we're bad. Yeah. So we're getting probably crazy divots and they're like, what's going on? We spend so much money on this green and these little kids are just coming in and ruining it.
Yeah. I think they're the only ones that ever complained. I don't think East Potomac would ever complain.
No. I think the closest thing other than that was that Gunpowder would say like every year, like, oh, this is last year. We could do it for you guys. Like get you the special rate because we're going to make our own camp. I think they still don't have their own camp.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. I've actually gone back to Gunpowder because it's so cheap to play it at 6:30, $12 for 18. And I mean, I don't get it. Like, it's so much worse than – I'm sorry if anyone from Gunpowder ever hears this. I don't know how they would. But it's so much worse than, like, it's rock. Like, the rough is better than the fairway. The greens are sometimes they're lightning. And, like, the next green will be legit sludge. You can't putt on it. Like, it's just wild that we played there. And I loved it as a kid. When I went back there when I was, like, 18, I was like, what am I playing on? Like, it's not – it's, like, a different game.
It's $12, dude.
You can't even, like, I can't even drive on the course unless I play, like, the yellow tees.
It's a pretty fun course. I guess I still remember like each hole like now. It's pretty crazy to think about how many times we played that.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. How many times did we actually play golf? How many weeks was it on like average? And we played golf every day. Did we ever play 18? I feel like we weren't ever able to play 18.
Do we ever do more than 6 weeks of summer, Ellie? I think six.
No, not
max.
Six. I think four was the max.
That's remember what I thought. Four or five, maybe. But did we ever play 18 holes? That's what I'm wondering because I was talking to Bjorn about it. We did.
Yeah,
we definitely played 18. So. We do like the red and the white course at East Potomac.
That's so crazy. That's crazy to me because like we were so young and like how did like I feel like Jacob would always quit halfway through the game and just drag his bag along. You know saying like he was not down.
So Jacob, my favorite memory of Jacob Black was the time that we were playing golf at Gunpowder. Rounding hole 3 to 4, and he had to release some fecal matter out of the system.
I
sent him off into the woods. I said, Jacob, like, can we just wait till we finish the end of 9? You can go in the clubhouse. And he's like, no, I can't wait. I was like, okay, just go into the woods and go really, really far away. And he used leaves and he took care of business.
You know? Yeah, it was pretty impressive. Yeah, it was honestly very mature of him to like be able to, you know, get through that experience. And honestly, it was pretty incredible.
Exactly. Very, very mature.
So the last question before we have to wrap it up, because honestly, I can only record 30 minutes on this on Zoom. I don't know why. I could go for like hours, but I wanted to know, do you guys have any regrets? And I don't mean regrets in like making mistakes, but like, do you ever like look back on that? You're like, oh, we could have done this to make it better. Or like, are you kind of completely satisfied with what happened? Because I'm honestly completely satisfied.
Ellie, go for it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think I can't think of anything glaring. It's not an exciting answer, but yeah, I don't know.
No regrets other than being able to spend more time with Yehuda Rudek. Yehuda Rudek is a man.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not a weatherman. I'm surprised he's not a weatherman yet because I thought he was for sure going to be a meteorologist. Is he going into meteorology?
There's nothing better than seeing Yehuda Rudek with some cheese curl, cheese all over his fingers, picking up a golf club.
Oh yeah, I was gonna shout. My brother wanted me to shout out the snacks at golf camp were the best tasting snacks of all time. And we went back after the course to the car. Famous Amos, I used to pound Famous, and you only give us one, and it was torture. We were like these growing kids, and I would be like, I'm gonna lose my mind. I have like four cookies, and I'm like starving.
I love it. We used to call in golf camp, Famous Anus.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, fine. We're out of time right now. Thanks, guys, so much for joining me. We have to do this again.
Yeah, hey, that was fun.
I'm going to get on like some more. We'll get some more players out here. We'll get some more golf camp alumni.
We can do it.
All right, Sounds awesome.
Thanks, Yehuda.
All right, see ya. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. I know I did. And for people that didn't really get it because it was too much of a niche, you know, interview, first of all, you know, learn to broaden your horizon a little bit. You know, your arsenal should be very deep. You should only listen to one genre, one kind of interview. You got to learn a lot about a lot of different things to be a successful person. So I hope you learned from that interview about Teed Up Golf Camp, the history, you know, the good times, the bad times, the conspiracies. And don't worry, I'm going to try to get on some not relevant guests because that sounds offensive to the people we just had on because they're very relevant in my life. But I'm going to get some more guests that are catered to different aspects of my fan base, which isn't very big, but you know, hopefully we'll get some other people on that you guys will appreciate because that's what this whole podcast is about. I only do this podcast. I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for the fame. I do it because it's a lot of fun to interview people, even though most people I interview I know already, but it's fun to, you know, it sounds legit. It's a good vibe. So anyways, thanks for listening and I'll see you next time.